afternoon. Welcome to the Econews Report. I'm your host this week, Annie Maher. The Econews Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Econews. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today, my guests are Madison Peters and Delia Benz-Kang from the North Coast Environmental Center. We're going to be talking about Coastal Cleanup Day, which is an international event that started right here in Humboldt County and is now the single largest volunteer event in support of the marine environment. This year, it is on September 16th from 9 to 12, and I'm going to leave the rest for Madison and Delia to tell us a little bit more about it. Thank you both for being on Econews Report today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So why don't you guys start out by telling us what Coastal Cleanup Day is?
So Coastal Cleanup Day, as you said, is something that Humboldt especially gets to hold dear to our hearts, as it began over 38 years ago right here at the North Coast Environmental Center. Started out as just a beach cleanup crew and got adopted by the Coastal Commission and the Ocean Conservancy, and now it's an international event. So it's a little piece of history we get to hold on to.
Yeah, I believe over 12 million volunteers and over 90 countries are participating in International Coastal Cleanup Day.
Yeah.
Wow. So. And what is the role of you two in Coastal Cleanup Day?
So my name is Madison Peters, and I'm the Coastal Programs Coordinator for the North Coast Environmental Center, and I'm the County Coordinator for Humboldt.
Neat. And don't you take Surf Rider out for a cleanup too, Delia?
Yeah, so I'm the Marine Protected Area Outreach Coordinator for the NEC, as well as the chair of the Surf Rider Foundation Humboldt chapter. So we're going to be hosting a cleanup that anyone can participate in. Our cleanup is going to be at Samoa Beach, the water tanks pull out, from 9 to noon. And I know the NEC is also holding a cleanup that anyone can participate in.
Yeah, so we are going to be having a cleanup at Clam Beach from 9 to noon as well. We'll just have a pop-up tent. People can stop on through. Doesn't have to be at 9 o'clock. If you want to come later, come later. But we'll be there until noon, and then you can join us at the North Country Fair afterwards.
So what were some of the results of last year's cleanup in 2016?
So last year in Humboldt County, we had over 700 volunteers come out, visiting over 60 sites, and we picked up over 7 tons of trash and recyclables off of our beaches and waterways.
Wow. What was the weirdest item you can remember a volunteer picking up?
People find very interesting things. A lot of the time we get, like, old appliances. Sometimes people find toilets. It's really like random. People find the most interesting things on the beach.
I remember someone found like a medieval sword one time.
Oh my god. I was gonna say, I think the weirdest thing, yeah, the weirdest thing I've ever found on a beach cleanup was like one of those Harry Potter wands that are the child's toys.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
I know the Coastal Commission sometimes will put on their posters the
they
weirdest
do. Items. They do. There's a contest every year.
And does the winner win something?
I think they get a gift card.
That's
possibly.
Really.
That kind of ties in with how Coastal Cleanup Day is special from other cleanups, because you're tracking everything that you're picking up and creating this database that's really helpful for, like, showing our elected officials and decision makers that we need to really clean up our beaches and pay special attention to certain items like cigarette butts and plastic bottles and plastic bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the North Coast Environmental Center collects all of that data.
Yeah, so it's kind of a chain of events. All of the participants in the Coastal Cleanup Day use these data cards that are produced by the Ocean Conservancy, as well as an app that does the same thing that's called CleanSwell. All that information goes into this database that is accessible on their website by the public for free. And that data, as you said, goes to help us, you know, make policy and show our representatives what we can do to, you know, make a change. And even locally, it helps us show what comes up on our beaches regularly, what we can do to kind of mitigate those marine debris from washing on our shores. And yeah, cigarette butts in particular and single-use plastic items. I mean, cigarette butts have been the number one most found object on Coastal Cleanup Day for the past 30 years. And so it's kind of interesting that this one little tiny item has always been the most found. I mean, the Coastal Cleanup Day has only been around for 38 years. So
is that consistent with what you two find when you go out for Coastal Cleanup Day? A lot of cigarette butts and a lot of single-use plastics?
Yeah,
definitely. And those little pieces are the most dangerous, you know, because those are what marine life is ingesting and then humans are eventually ingesting as well. And just kind of, they're the ones that are not as, like, you know, as bad as an eyesore as an appliance is,
mm-hmm.
it's probably not getting into our environment as easily as all these little pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really pay attention.
Those microplastics really do have a big effect on the environment. And I mean, the theme this year for Coastal Cleanup Day is remove our trash, not our wildlife. So we're trying to really make sure that trash doesn't get anywhere near our marine life, and because that does enter our food stream and go up the food chain to us if we eat those fish and animals.
Yeah, I mean, Coastal Cleanup Day is kind of a good platform for talking about all these other mm-hmm. issues and reminding people to continue this effort as we go through the rest of the year as well.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, protect our coastlines and promoting a healthy lifestyle in general.
Yeah.
So that all ties into why Coastal Cleanup Day is so important, not just for California, but for Humboldt County residents. Because you don't just have to clean up beaches, right? You can
clean up any part of the watershed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all are a part of the watershed, so upstream is just as important as downstream. You know, we want people to go out and clean their parking lots and their neighborhoods and their creeks and streams and riverbeds. All of those do make an effect on what shows up on our beaches as they're downstream, and then, you know, if we prevent them upstream, it has less chance coming downstream and then entering the ocean. So we want to minimize that marine debris.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Do you guys have any final thoughts specifically about Coastal Cleanup Day?
Well, maybe we should mention again how people can get involved.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but I know that always ends the conversation.
Sorry.
So, no, I know, but I was like, is there anything else you want to talk about? We can edit. Are there any other policy initiatives going on that relate to Coastal Cleanup Day this year?
Yeah, so all that data from Coastal Cleanup Day, as we said earlier, really helps us create bills and show our politicians, you know, what needs to happen and what needs to be changed in our world. So, like last year, we got the bag banned in California, so no more plastic bags. That's a big push for us.
Yay.
And success. But it also brings us to other bills that are kind of happening that go along with single-use plastics. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Leash the Lid that's trying to happen and banning styrofoam. All of those break down and get loose and animals can mistake them as delicious treats, but they're not it at all.
Leash the Lid is a really interesting one because it's mm-hmm. taking the plastic bottle caps and attaching it to the plastic bottle.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of a no-brainer when you think about the concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it hasn't happened yet, so it's just things like that that are interesting that are coming from Coastal Cleanup Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that data goes somewhere.
Yeah. So the data is used to kind of make decisions like mm-hmm. that for policy.
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what else is going on that day with the NEC on September 16th?
Well, we are going to be at the North Country Fair along with countless other organizations in Sarah Fryder. But the NEC particularly has the All Species Parade going on. And that will be happening right after our cleanup, where we meet in the
Tri-Counties
mm-hmm. Bank parking lot at 12:30. And then the parade will commence at 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. which is different from years past because it's on Saturday as opposed to Sunday.
Yes, we're doing it differently this year.
Yeah.
We'll also be having the Endangered Art Show in our booth if anybody wants to stop and see some really neat pieces of endangered species. So the NEC will be cleaning up at Clam Beach?
Yes, 9 to noon.
And Surf Rider will be
at Samoa Beach, and we're going to have free coffee and bagels for everyone that wants to come out. We're at the turnout just before the Bay Street parking lot, so look for a big pop-up tent there as well, and 9 to noon for us, too.
So where can volunteers or site captains sign up or get involved in this year's cleanup?
They can check out our website at yournec.org, and there's a online form that they can fill out to either join a team or create their own, and they can pick a beach and or a waterway or create their own site that they know is nearby and just sign up, join up, bring them happy selves, and everybody's gonna have a great day and enjoy a clean beach.
Well, great. Thank you for joining me today on Eco News Report. It was great hearing about Coastal Cleanup Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Come on out.
Yay. We were just talking to Madison Peters and Delia Benz-Kang from the North Coast Environmental Center about this year's Coastal Cleanup Day. Up next, we'll be talking to Larry Glass, Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, about Congressman Huffman's draft public lands bill. This summer, Congressman Jared Huffman released the draft of his public lands bill, which incorporates restoration, conservation, and public lands management. We covered this in an August Econews report, where I interviewed Jared Huffman and listened in on a segment of the Eureka public meeting regarding the bill. If you would like to hear that interview, be sure to visit khsu.org. Today we are talking to Larry Glass, Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, about the NEC's role in the public lands bill and its next steps. Welcome to the Econews report, Larry. Why don't you give us a summary of Congressman Huffman's bill for our listeners?
Well, it is a bill with a wide scope. One of the major features in the bill is that it establishes an 800,000-acre plus restoration area that we're calling the South Fork Trinity Mad River Special Restoration Area. And that is in both the Shasta Trinity National Forest and Six Rivers National Forest. And it will involve doing roadside shaded fuel breaks. It will involve treating old plantations that have been neglected for some as long as 30, 40 years. And they need to be dealt with because right now there's like a tree every 2 feet or so, and they're a real fire hazard. It started out as a wilderness bill only, and that's still a major focus for most of the environmental groups, is protecting some of the key areas that have been left out of the 70s, the 80s, and the 2000s. There's been wilderness bills, and each time these areas were part of the bill and then dropped at the last second. So this is our cleanup move to try and get these areas in, mostly in Trinity County, that have been left out, protected. One of the primary ones is an area called the Chinkapin Roadless Area. Mm-hmm. And it is the largest stand of unprotected old-growth Douglas fir left in Northern California. So we definitely, and there's a number of other areas there. I won't get into all of them because we have limited time. But we're also including extending protection for wild and scenic rivers, another 480 miles of wild and scenic rivers. Most of this is just extensions of already listed rivers, but there's some new water courses as well. We're also including in this bill some provisions for restoring public lands that have been used and abused in illegal way, and with a particular emphasis on the industrial strength cartel grows that have been happening in the national forest over the last 5 years that have just done incredible amounts of damage, particularly the not just the trash and the leftover infrastructure, but the poisons that are being used by these grows. Thousands of pounds of pesticides being brought into the United States that are not even if you were in favor of using pesticides, these aren't even pesticides that are allowed to be used in the United States. So pretty bad stuff. One of the other provisions, an interesting one, is this interagency visitor center that will be located in Trinity County, which will be a good thing for the visitors to have a place to be able to go to and get information about all these different wild areas that we have in Northern California. Because you go there now and you're like, you're on your own pretty much. There's also some provisions to get the federal agencies to begin to cooperate better with each other and come up with unified plans for dealing with fire in the wilderness areas. Because right now, the wilderness areas are in three or four different jurisdictions, and they don't necessarily even talk to each other. So we're really trying to get them to communicate bigger. And one that gets this provision gets a lot of people excited, and this is the Bigfoot Trail, which is going to run from the Yolaboli Middle Eel Wilderness in the south to the Oregon border. So that will be a huge plus for visitors and locals, you know, to get this trail fully established. It covers a wide variety of terrain, from high elevation to low elevation to chaparral to heavy forest. It's going to be a really unique trail. And it also includes opportunities for further expansion of the trail network, including mountain biking. So that will be something that a lot of our friends that like to ride their mountain bikes in the wild will be very interested to know.
So a really wide range of opportunities that that provides.
Yeah, and this was at the congressman's direction when we first approached him when he was candidate Huffman before he had ever been elected to the office. We approached him and said, hey, we've got these leftover wilderness areas that have never been designated. Will you champion our cause? And he said yes, and so we've been working with him ever since.
So what's been your role and the role of the North Coast Environmental Center in drafting the legislation?
Well, it's been a long process. You know, it's one of these things where there's lots of people involved, big groups, little groups, individuals that have been involved in putting this together. In the beginning, it was pretty much open to whoever kind of showed up. And as time went by, it boiled down to kind of a core group of about a dozen people, I would say. But yeah, both, I represent SAFE in Trinity County, and I'm also executive director of the NEC. And so wearing both of those hats, we've been right at the forefront of all this, particularly because we're the locals on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of these, like Wilderness Society and Pew and Cal Wild and some of these other groups, Sierra Club, Redwood Chapter, they're all bigger groups that are out of the area. So having someone on the ground, so that's put us kind of right in the center of all of this discussion. So it's been going on for over 4 years now that we've been working on this. And lots of drafts, lots of discussions, lots of debates. We have weekly calls where we air these various topics and then boil down where we're going to go with this.
And what were local environmental groups hoping to accomplish with the bill?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, honestly, is the protection of these sacred places that have, like I said, been left out of these other bills. You know, addition to Chansalula, addition to Mount Lassic, additions to the Yolaboli Middle Eel Wilderness, the Yuki, the Sanhedrin, North Fork of the Eel, Black Buttes, and like I said, Chinkapin. There's a long piece that's along the South Fork of the Trinity. Underwood is another spot. So there's lots of important pieces that need to be protected, especially with the wave of backward thinking that seems to have taken over in D.C. right now.
Mm-hmm. So Huffman hosted 4 public meetings in Eureka, Crescent City, Weaverville, and Ukiah to receive feedback for the draft. What was the result of those meetings?
Well, you know, the thing that we heard the most at all those meetings, a lot of support, I would say. The vast majority of people that commented were supportive. But even amongst the supporters, the thing we heard the most was, hey, we need better maps. So they've accomplished that. Just as of a couple of days ago, if you go to his website and you look for this bill and you go to the maps sections, there's county maps, and then there's individual quad maps where you can really zoom in on these areas and see exactly what we're talking about. I think that will be really helpful. And so I think that's one thing that came out of these meetings.
So what are the next steps for moving the bill forward, specifically maybe for the North Coast Environmental Center?
Well, you know, this got rolled out to the public. Now, you know, Congressman Huffman's office has to take in all the public comment that it gets, and I believe they're going to, what I've heard is at least 90 days, they're going to be just waiting to receive comment on this. So if people have thoughts, clarifications, corrections, you don't like it, or you love it, they're still open to hearing from you. So, you know, communicate that to the congressman's office. And you can go, right, like I said, right to his website, and there's a portal for giving input there. And at the end of that input time, then whatever refinements will be made, and we've already found some things that, you know, that we've dealt with it for so close, you know, or for so long. You know, sometimes when you're really close to something, you don't see that big thing that's staring you right in the face. And as soon as the bill got released, we realized, oops, you left that out. So we've got some input ourselves that we're going to be making to the staff. And then they'll take all the input, and then we'll see what the final form looks like. And then once it gets to final form, I'm assuming that it will probably be introduced at that time. Although, once again, that's up to the congressman and his staff back in D.C. to take the temperature back there and figure out if the time's right.
So they might wait for a better time if needed?
It's possible, although my last conversation with the congressman is he thought, why not now? Mm-hmm. So we'll go with whatever he thinks.
So you mentioned the deadline for providing feedback to Congressman Huffman about the draft. That's 90 days?
From the day that they rolled it out. So I think that would take it to November.
Okay. But public comment has been positive so far? Or
oh, yeah.
Reception?
The vast majority of comment, even in good old Trinity County where, you know, they voted for Trump, we had like 70% favorable comment at that public hearing.
So what is the bill anticipated to change for the residents of Northern California or do differently for public lands management?
Well, a huge difference would be this restoration area.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of areas that they harvested for profit going back as far as the 60s, all the way through the 90s, and then never have put any of that money back into dealing with them. The idea was, and environmentalists were totally opposed to clear cutting the whole time it was happening. But the concept of these clear cuts were that they would go back in and maintain them as plantations, and then they'd be ready to be harvested again about right now.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they just abandoned them, and they've become these huge fire hazards because they're just thick with trees and brush. There's no gaps or space between them, and when fire gets in them, it's catastrophic. So dealing with those and then creating this system of roadside shaded fuel breaks, which we think is real forward thinking way to deal with the forest today. I mean, it's fine to think about the way it was a long time ago, but that time's past. It is how it is now. And we need along the road network that already exists out there. We're not talking about building any new roads. In fact, we're talking about putting to bed some ones that aren't needed anymore. But along the road network that's already there, creating these safe corridors for people to evacuate from little communities out there and for the firefighters who have to deal with these things when they get out of control, like just did in Junction City, to have a safe spot to set up a control line, you know.
Great. Well, that was your debrief on Congressman Huffman's recently released draft legislation. Thank you so much, Larry. And like we mentioned, you can still submit comment for this bill. If you want to learn more or send in a comment, be sure to visit Congressman Huffman's website at huffman.house.gov or mountainsandrivers.org. I will include links to these on the page for this Econews report on khsu.org. Thank you again, Larry. This has been the Econews Report. My name is Annie Maher from the North Coast Environmental Center, and I've been your host for the past half hour. Today, my guests have been Madison Peters and Delia Benz-Kang
from the North Coast Environmental Center, talking about this year's Coastal Cleanup Day on Saturday, September 16th. We also spoke with Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, Larry Glass, about Congressman Huffman's public lands bill. You can find more information about Coastal Cleanup Day at yournec.org/coastalcleanup, and more information about Congressman Huffman's bill at Huffman's website. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The EcoNews Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us next time for the next EcoNews Report. The EcoNews Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us.